I am so excited to be sharing with you journeys in food, nutrition, and sustainability. But first, I am currently a student nutritionist, having completed 4 years studying food science and nutrition at the University of Leeds. While I am working towards my accreditation, I am not yet an accredited nutritionist. What is shared on this podcast should not be taken as personalised nutritional advice. If you want nutritional advice, you should contact a registered nutritionist or dietitian. Other resources available to you include the EFSA, the WHO, and the NHS websites. Now, let's get on with the podcast. I'm Amelia, your host of Journeys in Food, Nutrition, and Sustainability. I am so excited to be sharing my guest journeys in these fields with you, hopefully helping to inspire your journeys. Today, I am welcoming Ro. As many of you may know her, Dietitian Ro on Instagram. Ro has an undergraduate degree in food science and nutrition, a master's in advanced nutrition, and a second master's degree in clinical research. She has worked in the NHS for several years, private practice and commercial business. She is also a published author of several academic papers. More recently, Ro has been using her experience in the field to help others starting out on their journey. She has started the NutriTribe along with her friend Nick, giving a platform for aspiring and accredited nutritionists and dietitians to connect. Today I talk with Ro all about her journey, from education to work. We talk about how Ro developed in her career and on social media. Throughout, Ro has some great words of advice for you.
From a community perspective, collaboration over competition. There is enough room for everybody to thrive, so don't push people down, build them up. From personal perspective, strive for progress, not perfection.
Please stay tuned. I cannot wait to share her words with you today. Welcome to Journeys in Food, Nutrition, and Sustainability.
Hi Ro, it is so lovely to meet you. How are you today?
I am good. I'm very excited to be here, so thank you for having me.
Thank you. Firstly, would you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, I'm going to throw some random facts out there. So on Instagram, I'm Dietitian Ro. My full name is actually ridiculous. It's Rosemary Elizabeth Huntress, so I sound like I'm one of the Queen's friends, but I'm not. I live in London. I lived in Leeds for around 10 years, if not a little bit more. And then I practice as a dietitian down here. So I work at a digital healthcare company. I also work as a freelance dietitian. This is after working for several years in the NHS. Other random facts, I love Tottenham Hotspur. I love dogs. I love traveling. I love music, particularly of the house and techno variety. So there you go. Yep. So there's some facts that probably people don't know about me and that I don't regularly share on my Instagram.
Well, the music is one that's definitely surprised me and I love it.
Yes,
I love as well that you lived in Leeds for so long, because I've just moved back home from Leeds and I am heartbroken to be leaving the city.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I'm from Chester originally, and then I moved to Leeds in 2005, and I did two of my degrees in Leeds, and yeah, absolutely fell in love with the place.
It is beautiful, isn't it? Talking about your journey and going back to Leeds and doing your education there, but before that, has food and health always been something that's interested you, or did your passion spark during that time?
I was reflecting back before this podcast. When I was younger, my diet was not great. And I remember my mum always having a bit of a hellish time with me. But I was really, really sporty. So I was into the health aspect, but from a fitness perspective. In terms of my first degree, I did food science and nutrition. And it was actually the nutrition side that really, really interested me. And it made me think, oh, wow, I didn't realize how powerful nutrition was. And it really ignited something within me. And then I looked into the career options in terms of nutrition and dietetics and thought dietetics sounded like a really good path. Mm-hmm. And it led me to where I am now.
That's amazing. I actually studied food science and nutrition at the University of Leeds. It's what I'm just graduating from.
Oh, brilliant.
I've had the same thing as you. I have loved the food science because it's given me a really good understanding of all those interactions between food, but it is the nutrition that I'm so passionate about.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, so had quite a similar journey then.
So talking about your time at Leeds, that was your first degree, but you've done so much more education than that. Could you explain to us a bit about how you were inspired to take your next master's and your second master's after that?
Yes. So I am a self-confessed geek, and my friends did ask me at the time, are you ever going to leave university? Are you ever going to get a job? So I did my undergrad. It was food science and nutrition. I did it with European studies. So I got a year out in Spain, which was great.
Oh, beautiful.
Then, as I said, I went on to do the dietetics at Leeds Beckett. That was a postgrad diploma, and then you have the opportunity to then top up to a master's by doing a research project. So I did that research project when I was working within the NHS, and then that got me my MSc. And then, because I really loved the research output, I got my first publication from that. And then I heard of these scholarships through the National Institute for Health Research, where they offered this absolutely amazing program that I believe they still offer now, where in essence, they pay you your salary for a year to do a master's in clinical research.
Wow.
So I went from full-time working for 12 months to do this master's in clinical research, University of Manchester, and it was brilliant. And to be honest, that might have even been my favourite degree. So 3 degrees and maybe a PhD in the future.
That sounds very exciting. And you're clearly so passionate and love your subject. Does that come across talking about now working in the NHS that you've done and your private practice? That passion must come across to your clients and must be so important as part of it.
I think so. And I continue to be really enthusiastic about what I do. I've had that feedback from managers that I've had, but I've also had it from patients as well, especially in conditions where behavior change is required. If I'm enthusiastic, even if they're not so enthusiastic, it helps to push their enthusiasm and their motivation as well. So I do really believe that it helps.
That's amazing. We've just started touching on where you are at now. So after completing your education and going into the NHS, how did your journey develop in the work field of dietetics?
I started in the NHS in 2011. So normally as a dietitian in the NHS, you'll go into a band 5 post, which is basically general dietetics. You do a little bit of everything, but it's great because you get exposure in so many different clinical areas. And then you specialize. So I specialized in diabetes and weight management, and I did that for 6 years in that area alongside Nick's Nutrition.
Yeah.
Who I'm sure we'll mention later, but we but we were NHS buddies all that time. So the master's in clinical research that I did, that was in the middle of that NHS time. And then it got to the end of 2017. And I think I was just ready for a fresh challenge. My degree that I had done was also largely remote. So I did that degree whilst pretty much traveling around the world, which was great. And it gave me an insight into flexibility, remote working. And then that was when I started to work for Oviva. So Oviva with an O and not an A. They are a digital dietetic healthcare company. I started to work for them as a lead dietitian and a service manager in a tier 3 weight management program, but it had a face-to-face component and also a digital component. But because Oviva was a startup and their digital care, they were growing rapidly. So within a year of being there, I was promoted to the clinical lead dietitian for obesity for the UK company. And then as of tomorrow, actually, I will be going to be the European clinical research lead. So I will be overseeing clinical trials, evaluations of digital care in the UK, Germany, Switzerland and France within Oviva.
That's really cool.
So that's like feeding into my research geekiness, which is great. And then alongside all of that, since 2013, I have worked as a freelance dietitian, doing various things because I always wanted to do a little bit extra than what I did in my day job. So I did all sorts of things. It started off with meal plans. I got myself a website. I did home visits. I set up a weight management clinic. And now it's more one-on-one consultations with patients. And then also I do consultancy to brands and businesses. Keeps me busy.
Yeah, you sound like you must be so busy and you seem to have achieved so much. You were halfway through your master's and you're working in the NHS and then you've gone doing so many different jobs whilst exploring the world. It sounds incredible. Do you think your inspiration has changed from the day that you started your first undergraduate to today? And how has it changed if it has?
Yeah, I mean, when I first started my career in dietetics, it was for my own personal interest in nutrition. And then as I got further into it, I was like, wow, this can really help to change people's lives. And that was my big inspiration going through, and it still is to this day. I feel that's probably what's changed more recently is that I feel that I'm in a position to help those who are coming into the industry. So that's a new inspiration for me as well, and helping people who were a bit earlier on in their careers, offering opportunities that perhaps weren't there when I graduated.
That is amazing. And I can't wait to talk to you a bit more about the internships that you do offer. What I'm wondering first is, you said how being in this career, you love it because it changes people's lives and you can have that amazing impact on people's lives. What I'm wondering is, do you think being in dietetics has changed your life and it's shaped who you are?
Oh, that's a really good question. I guess as I've gone through my career, I've grown up with it and it's exposed me to an awful lot. One, in terms of knowledge, every single day I'm learning. There's always new things that are being published. You're exposed to lots of different people, lots of different ways of life, people that are dealing with lots of difficult situations. I think it teaches you a lot of empathy. I think it teaches you wisdom, but it also gives you power to be able to change. You can change people's life on an individual level, but actually when more established, you can help to change things on a policy level. So I don't know whether it's necessarily changed me. I just feel that I've grown up with it. It's definitely taught me good skills and has given me great experiences, which I suppose has fed into some of the wisdom that I maybe feel that I have that I didn't have.
Definitely. Speaking to some people, they often ask me, do I feel any pressures studying nutrition? Do you feel any pressures from being this field?
Not in terms of, say, like how I look or anything like that. I don't think weight, for example, plays a part. I know a group of people who don't really understand dietetics feel that, oh, dietitians just help people to lose weight. No, that's such a small, small part of what dietetics is. In dietetics, there's renal dietitians, there's pediatric dietitians, there's metabolic dietitians, and weight can sometimes have very little to do with that. So in terms of feeling pressured to look a certain way, no, absolutely not. I feel there is an expectation of you to be spreading and delivering evidence-based messages. So it's not about you and your appearance, it's more about your professionalism, your credibility and your knowledge.
I totally agree. And making sure you are sharing evidence-based nutrition, especially on things like social media. And I followed you on Instagram for a while now. For those listening, you can find Ro by searching for Dietitian Ro on Instagram. You have been very inspirational on it, both by sharing messages to people who are looking for that evidence-based nutrition, but also to people like myself on their journeys in nutrition. I know you are relatively new to social media. How did you find getting onto Instagram? Because obviously you're reaching out to a wide audience.
Absolutely. I guess beforehand, the people that knew me within dietetics were the people who taught me at university, the people within my hospital trust in the NHS, my patients, and maybe a few people that might have read something that I'd written, say a paper or something like that. But now I feel that I'm part of this absolutely fantastic community. And I guess it's two ways. I think nationally, but internationally now, I know so many other dietitians that I would have never, ever met. And nutritionists as well, if it wouldn't have been for Instagram. And off the back of that, they know me as well. So it is the great opportunity. And I didn't have an interest in starting a social media page when I started in the NHS. I don't know whether it was as much of a thing back then. But I think for anybody now, if you're wanting to grow your networks and establish your place within the online nutrition and dietetic community, then definitely just get out there. And what I would say about this community is that it is a really friendly one. And it's surprising because people might not think that everybody's so open and shares a lot of the same values and ideas, but a message or a conversation or joining certain community groups, it can be so powerful and it can lead to so many opportunities.
Yeah, it really is a community, and there is so much support out there from you down to me who just graduating. I've really found that community and that network of people and learning from people like yourself who shares your knowledge and shares your experience in the field, and that influences what I want to do and how I want to show my knowledge and making sure it's evidence-based, which really is amazing and shows how positive social media can be.
Absolutely. And I learn from other dietitians as well. Mm-hmm. And equally, I learn from students and people just from their own experiences, or even something that they've learned at uni that I haven't heard of before. So I think you learn from so many different people. There's other dietitians that specialize in areas that I don't mm-hmm. specialize in. And I love following those pages because there's so much good information mm-hmm. out there, and it's great to learn.
Yeah, it really is. And speaking of community, obviously you and Nick, your friend from the NHS who we were speaking about earlier, who is Nick's Nutrition on Instagram, you two had an amazing Instagram live. How long ago was it now?
Only like 3 weeks. I think maybe about 3 weeks ago or something like that.
From that, you've set up an amazing group on Facebook and it's grown so fast, which I am a part of. But for our listeners, would you tell us a little bit more about what this group is?
Yeah, absolutely. So it came about from an Instagram live that Nick and I did, basically helping nutritionists and dietitians to be noticed and how to stand out from the crowd. And we gave a few tips as we went along. One of the tips that we gave is start a tribe. Start a tribe, get a group of people who are going to support you, give you advice, and be your online mm-hmm. dietitian or nutrition friends. And out of all the messages that we shared in that hour-long live, I think that was the one that resonated the most. So Nick and I could just see this buzz and this real enthusiasm for it. So we said, okay, let's just set up a Facebook group and let's join everybody together so they can form their groups and their networks based on either geographical area or clinical interest within this Facebook group. So we started up the NutriTribe, and within less than a month, it's got nearly 450 members now.
And they're active members as well. Everyone is involved.
Yeah, very, very active. We state what our goals are at the beginning of the week. We celebrate our wins at the end. One of our members has designed as a logo. Mm-hmm. Another one of our members has just written our first newsletter, which is going to be sent out tomorrow. And we've got ideas as to how we can progress it. And the reason that Nick and I did it is so that we can help people to grow those networks and make that journey into this field just that little bit easier. Yeah. So it's very much in its stages of infancy, but it's a very welcome platform for anybody who does want to join it. Just search on Facebook, so the NutriTribe. If you're having difficulties finding it, it is in my Instagram bio.
And you can message myself, or I'm sure Ro, you'd be happy to be messaged, and you can send the link to the Facebook, because it really is amazing. And I think it's just one example of how social media can really be used for the positive, because there you are giving so many people opportunities to share their experiences, and also, as you say, to design logos, to write newsletters. And these are all pieces of experience that people really need, trying to get into the industry, trying to stand out that one step mm-hmm. more. It's incredible, and thank you so much for letting us all be a part of it.
You guys are what makes it. If it was me and Nick in there, it'd be a pretty rubbish Facebook group. So yeah, it's all down to you guys. You make it what it is.
Thank you. We've now touched on the positives of social media, but unfortunately, there is a negative side. There's a negative side in terms of some of the information out there, and there's also a negative side in how people treat social media badly. How have you found that in dietetics, and how do you think it can be overcome?
I feel in terms of misinformation, so say if we're talking about influencers promoting various products or just absolute nonsensical nutrition, I don't know whether it's just because of the pages that I follow, but I do feel that that's getting drowned out. Even I watched a video from an influencer. They were talking about a weight loss product, but actually they were just talking about how fatty it was. And 3 years before, they were talking about how great another weight loss product. So actually, I feel that the tide is turning with this. Mm-hmm. I think we just need to stand loud, proud, and get that right information out there. Mm-hmm. In terms of the other negatives, negative comments, trolling, for example, mm-hmm. it's really not pleasant. I have an account. It's not huge. I'm known as what's called a micro influencer, mm-hmm. apparently. But even at that size, I have been trolled. And Amelia, you've followed my page, as you said, for some time. And literally all I try to share is positivity and good messages. Fair enough. We can all get it wrong every now and again, but we're all human, right?
Yeah.
But you can just be trolled for the most random things. The first time that I was trolled, I was really upset. I was sad for about 3 days.
Oh, no.
Just because I didn't understand it. I was like, what have I done? It took me a few days to get back into my swing. Since that, I've started to manage it a bit better. Mm-hmm. But what comes with growing an account, and I think that everybody who wants to grow an account needs to be aware of, if you're putting out a message or putting out an opinion or even an evidence-based message, there's always going to be three groups of people. There's going to be one group who doesn't really care, who's quite impartial, ones who's for it, and ones who's against it. So as you grow, there's going to be more opportunity for people who are against it to voice their opinion, because they forget that there's actually a person behind the account. And when they see big numbers, yeah. So influencers say with 200,000-400,000, they don't think that there's a person. There can be a degree of envy as well for people who've got huge accounts. I think if you choose to grow an account to a certain level, you need to be aware that this does happen. I mean, I'm still in the process of trying to develop a thick skin, which probably isn't 100% there yet. But one of the things that I've chosen to do to protect myself, because I don't really like trolling, is I haven't got a Twitter account, because yeah. I've seen so many horrible things that are said on Twitter. I know many of my colleagues and friends that have been trolled, and I just don't think that it's nice. So for the time being, I choose just to not be on that platform.
I'm sorry that you've experienced that, and I'm sad to hear that lots of other people do experience it. So it's good to hear that you've restricted yourself on not going onto Twitter. Do you have any advice for people trying to grow their thicker skin?
Yeah, so it's a process that I'm going through at the moment. I've done different courses. One of the courses that I've done is an Instagram course. One thing that they said is that if you get trolled, it means that you're actually succeeding, because your page is at a point where you've had growth. They say that it's a sign of success. I think as your page grows, expect it. Nobody's immune to it. It's likely to happen. I'm probably not the best one to give advice. Just try not to let it affect you, because that person probably wouldn't say it to your face.
Yeah.
These are things that I'm still trying to say to myself.
As you said earlier, I'm going to use your words again. People forget that there is a real person behind there. They wouldn't say it to your face. They probably do not mean it. They forget that you are a real person and you do have feelings.
Yeah, and people think it's a bit of a free-for-all.
Mm.
But yeah, I'm working on that. That's a personal point that I'm working on.
I'm actually doing an internship with Nutrition Rocks at the moment, which I got because of your Instagram live. Hala did a live with Alice Living the other evening, and this topic came up. Mm. I would advise going and having a listen to that if anyone's struggling, because they had some great words of advice as well.
I'll probably go and listen to it myself.
It was very good. Just coming back to the point that we started with when we were talking about the misinformation that can be out there, what can people look out for to make sure that they're following registered advice, that the advice is regulated and it's not misinformation?
I think if something sounds faddy, it probably is.
Just
look at who's giving the message. Is it a registered dietitian, a registered nutritionist, or somebody with proper nutrition qualifications, a university degree? Mm-hmm. Normally, if you look at somebody's page, you can see if they're saying BS or not.
Yeah.
You know? Also, on that, you talk about Hala. So she has her company, Nutrition Rocks, and then there's another dietitian, Sophie Medlin, and mm-hmm. they have recently published a petition to get more regulation around nutrition claims on Instagram. I think it's something that we should definitely all get behind. So I would recommend going to either of their pages. Is it Sophie Dietitian?
Yeah.
And then Nutrition_Rocks.
Yeah.
So go and have a look at that, because I think it's important we all get behind that movement.
It is such an important petition, because there is unregulated information out there. And like you said, look out for those qualifications. So if they're not saying that they're either a BSc, an MSc, they're an R Nutra, an A Nutra, or a dietitian, which is a protected title.
Yeah.
Then you should be questioning them. And honestly, I would say ask. I was speaking with Holly Roper about this, who you've worked with actually, haven't you?
Yeah.
And her advice was just ask nicely.
Exactly. Yeah. I think when it comes to looking at someone's page, it's generally common sense, and we all have mm-hmm. common sense.
That is very true. So moving away slightly from the social media aspect of you and your journey, you have been involved with publishing research papers as well. How have you found doing that?
I absolutely love that, to be honest. When I did my first master's, it was my first opportunity to publish. It wasn't a particularly huge paper. It was an evaluation of a weight management service, but it got my foot in the door and it got me my first publication. And I feel that it really fed my passion for it. And then my second publication was looking at low carbohydrate diets in the management of type 2 diabetes. And I did a systematic review and meta-analysis, pretty much the highest level of evidence that you can get. And I did that as my research project for my second master's. And that actually really took off. And I think it's over 50 countries it's been shared in. So it was in the European Journal of Clinical Nutrition, and Public Health England in March released a draft consultation on lower carbohydrate diets for type 2 diabetes management. And they reference only 4 papers globally. And mine was one of the 4 papers.
Oh my goodness. So
again, that's cool for a research geek.
Really,
so yeah, I
cool.
love that. I did another paper off the back of that, more of a qualitative study looking at dietitians' opinions on low carbohydrate diets in type 2 diabetes. So adding a bit of qualitative to the quantitative data there. And then I'm working on a couple of papers at the moment. So one is weight management interventions in digital health. The other one is nutrition and female fertility. I just love that sort of stuff. And then going into my new position, it will be very much research focused. So hopefully there'll be plenty of abstracts and papers that will come out of that. It will help to build my research portfolio.
And what's that systematic review and meta-analysis called? Because I'm wanting to search for it now.
The interpretation and effect of a low carbohydrate diet in type 2 diabetes, a systematic review and meta-analysis. So it basically does exactly what it says on the tin. If you type my name into Google, Roe Huntress and diabetes, it will come up.
That is amazing. My dissertation was a systematic review, so I know how tough they are and how long they take and how systematic you need to be.
Definitely. And with the European Journal of Clinical Nutrition, it's a high-powered journal. And they sent my manuscript back, I think it was 3 times. I was like, we'll accept it if you do this, we'll accept it if they do that. And they made me do extra tables, extra analyses. And at the time, I was like, give me a break. But by the time they accepted it, and I was like, wow, sorry to blow my own trumpet, but this is good.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm really glad that they pushed me to do that. It was a long experience, but it was a great experience.
That's great advice to have as well. Keep on going, keep on pushing.
Definitely.
As well, you've got your social media experience, you're a published author of many scientific papers, and you've done some writing for the media. How have you found that? You've been published in several national publications?
Yeah, I find that side of things really fun. I feel like if I was going to work with a client, they'd maybe look at my research publications and think, okay, credibility. But I just think that the commercial side of it's really fun. Mm-hmm. It's not always work that I get paid for being in the media, but it's a good way to get exposure. You say that research paper that I discussed before, that was featured in the New York Times. I've done various comments and pieces for, say, the Daily Mail, the Sun, the Mirror, the Express, and several magazines. I just like doing that sort of stuff.
And really sharing your knowledge. It's amazing.
Yes, exactly. And it's nice that the papers and magazines now are looking for dietitians to give those comments. Mm-hmm. Or just not any Tom, Dick or Harry, basically. Mm-hmm. Dietitians, nutritionists, people who are qualified to give that advice.
Exactly.
So good to see.
And that's coming back to the social media. It involves the media. It's looking for those qualifications, which is important when you're trusting advice.
Absolutely.
You have mentioned that you are interested in fitness and that you've done some traveling. For me, nutrition comes down to more than just one nutrient. And I think travel especially is one of those things. When I went to Australia last year, I became really, really aware of sustainability and the effect that we are having on the environment, whether that was travel, whether that's food. And it's interesting to talk about nutrition and dietetics and how you think sustainability is involved.
I think it's really important. I feel that it's a new-ish area that dietitians and nutritionists have a responsibility to help to spread awareness. Many people will be familiar with the BDA, the One Blue Dot campaign, which I thought was an excellent document. So please do go and read that if you haven't already. It's certainly something that's on my agenda. And I would say over the past few years that its place on my agenda has grown. I think that's mainly due to awareness. I've been a vegetarian since I was 8.
That's a new fact about you as well.
There we go. Coming out with all the facts today. So how good's my maths? 25 years. We know that plant-based diets have a positive effect on the environment in terms of reduced greenhouse gas emission, reduced water usage, reduced land, reduced pollution. Obviously, there's the whole aspect of animal welfare. Mm-hmm. So it's not to say that everybody should go vegetarian or vegan. It's just that including a few more plant-based choices within the diet, that collective effort from everybody can be very, very powerful. But I suppose in terms of consultations, I don't think patients maybe expect dietitians to be talking about that angle. Mm-hmm. We've got to be careful as to not preach, but just trying to give the facts. But I think where we can be really vocal is on social media, mm-hmm. advertising campaigns, general campaigns, because the more that people know about it, the more awareness that is there, the more change that is going to happen. We're the last generation that can do anything about it. Yeah. But your degree, do they talk about sustainability and that sort of stuff?
We touched on it once or twice because I studied food science. So in my final year, we've studied a module called Farm to Fork.
Yeah.
So it has, but not directly touched on, not to the extent that I would like to touch on it. But I guess that is a passion of my own.
Yes.
And as you say, it's something that we can use our social media platforms for a positive.
Yes, absolutely. It's just about finding that balance, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. How do you find it with not eating fish?
For me, I do take omega-3 supplements. Mm-hmm. I have another random fact for you. I have an inflammatory eye condition. So omega-3 supplements, they're anti-inflammatory. I take this daily and without taking it might flare up. I know from a scientific perspective, but I know from a personal perspective as well, how powerful omega-3s and especially those from either fish or algae as well.
Yeah.
There's the vegan alternative, so with the EPA and the DHA. So nutritionally, it's the same. In terms of those who do have fish, the advice is to go for sustainably sourced fish. It is really difficult to manage it all. But, you know, none of us are perfect. I'm trying to make my way in terms of less food waste, using plastics less, plant-based, that's going well. But one thing, normally, I travel quite a lot on a plane. Yeah. So my carbon footprint from that is not good. I can't say that I'm perfect, but I'm certainly very aware of it, trying to improve and using my knowledge to heighten awareness in others.
And as you say, it's just doing that one little thing that you can do. And it's not always to do with changing your diet. It's other things that you can do to reduce our impact on the environment, like reducing plastic usage, reusing plastic, like reducing your food waste, so planning your meals better, or not putting as much water in the kettle. You only need to boil it for one cup if you're only making one cup, and that will make a difference. Turning the lights off when you leave a room.
Yeah, absolutely. We can all play our part, can't we?
Totally. And you said we are the last generation that could do it.
Exactly. And I think that there is an emphasis on environmental policies, and hopefully we're going to hear some good news and some good changes coming out of all of this. I've worked at home now for the past 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. If you actually think about when I used to drive to my NHS trust, I would just sit in a traffic jam whilst my car was chugging out fumes. But if businesses allowed more people to work at home in that capacity, then that would have a huge impact.
For sure. Thank you, Ro, for being here today. It's been an absolute pleasure to get to know you. And you have so many words of advice throughout your whole career in dietetics, food to sustainability. And they have all been truly amazing. Thank you for sharing your experiences.
Very welcome.
You did mention about a PhD. What I'm wondering is, what is next for you?
So I start my new job at Aviva. That's going to be a whole new chapter for me. Working internationally, I've never worked internationally in dietetics before, so that's really cool. The NutriTribe and continuing to grow this community of amazing nutrition and dietetic professionals, that's certainly something that I want to roll with. And my own personal business, I want to grow it. I want to allow it to flourish. So continue to get some great clients on board. Equally, continue to build a small team to help me on my way, but also so that I can provide mentorship for them.
Well, it sounds like you're going to keep busy, as I'm sure that's your character through and through. And it all sounds very exciting as well. Good luck on that.
Thank you.
A final question, which I love to ask all of my guests. If you could please sum up in a sentence, a few words or a quote any advice that you would give to people currently on their journeys in food, nutrition, dietetics and sustainability?
From a community perspective, collaboration over competition. There is enough room for everybody to thrive, so don't push people down, build them up. From personal perspective, whether it be on your social media or whether it just be on personal goals, strive for progress, not perfection.
Some amazing words. Thank you. I'm taking them on board right now. I love that though, striving for progress, not perfection, because it's so easy to get lost in perfection.
I know, that one just resonates with me so much. Nobody is ever going to be perfect, and we can't expect ourselves to be perfect, and we can't expect other people to be perfect, but aiming for progress, that is what we've got to focus on.
Yeah, just one small step of progress, it's still progress.
Oh, absolutely. I'm all about celebrating the small wins.
Love it. Well, thank you so much, Ro, for being here today and sharing your journey with us. If you don't follow Ro already, you can go and check her out on Instagram at Dietitian Ro. And if you, like Ro and many of her followers, including myself, love to engage with the nutrition and dietetic community and grow your network, search for the NutriTribe on Facebook.
I have loved talking with Ro today, all about her journey, finding out what inspires her, what she loves about dietetics, and the advice she has for all of us. I wish Ro and all of you luck on your journeys. I hope you can join me next Sunday to discover more journeys in food, nutrition, and sustainability.